these testimonies, and my heart is thrilled to hear. Amen. And I believe that the Lord has had a special touch in this service tonight already. We'll go to the Word of the Lord for just a moment here, and then 1 Peter chapter 4. We was in 1 Peter chapter 3 this morning. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter 4 tonight. And look to the Word of God just for a moment. Verse number 17 and 18. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Very familiar scripture. The Bible says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" Dear Lord, we thank you for this service tonight. We thank you for everyone that is here. I pray, God, that you touch our hearts from your word. I give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? The end, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? That's what I want to preach to us for a little while tonight, about those that obey not. Those that obey not. Amen. Those that obey not. The apostle here said, if the righteous scarcely be saved. God help us to realize, amen, that this is so important in our life, to obey God and to obey Him. What would cause somebody to not obey the gospel of God? I'm not talking about, amen, so many different commandments and all, but the gospel of God. Amen. The gospel message, the good news message from God. The Bible said, if it's hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that perish, lest the light of the glorious gospel, which is the express image of God, should shine unto them. Amen. The gospel of God. Time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. God judges His people first. Even in the end of time, amen, there'll come a great white throne judgment one day where God will judge, amen, everything and everyone. But before that, there will come the judgment seat of Christ, where God will judge His church. Christ will judge His church first. God, amen, is a just God and a holy God and a pure and very, amen, faithful God. Amen. There is no unrighteousness in Him. He will judge His people first. The judgment seat after the rapture, amen, of the church, there will be a judgment seat of Christ where Christ will judge His people and will give unto His people their rewards. Amen. And we'll be given rewards according to our deeds, the Bible says. The great white throne judgment. Amen. If you read and study about the judgment seat of Christ, never once is it mentioned they or them, but always referred to as us. Amen. And the children of God. The great white throne judgment. Never God's people is mentioned at the great white throne judgment. But just those that are, amen, gone astray, and the sinner and the ungodly. And so God will judge His people first. What would cause somebody to not obey the gospel of God? The Bible tells us in Thessalonians, we'll turn and look here, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, when he's talking about the Antichrist, the wicked would be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Oh, I don't want to have deceivableness in me. Deceivableness, something that can be deceived. Deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause shall God send a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned, or that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Believe not the truth. What would cause us to believe not the truth? The Bible says, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The pleasures of sin, amen, would cause a man or woman or boy or girl not to obey the truth. Not to obey the gospel of God. It's laid out very plainly. There are those, amen, that disobey God's word on a daily basis, that know better and even have a fear for the commandments of God. What would cause a person to continue on in that sin, knowing the judgment of God, knowing the terror of God, knowing the terror of the Lord, knowing that we'll pay for our sins one day? It's the pleasure in unrighteousness. We live in a world that is engulfed in pleasure. So much pleasure, the pleasure of the flesh. Amen. The pleasure of sin that comes to a man or woman. Amen. That causes them to engulf themselves, engulf ourselves in things that we never thought imaginable. What causes the wife or the husband, amen, to be unfaithful? What causes that person, amen, to do things that they never thought fathomable in their mind? They never thought, if matter of fact, if you asked them, they'd say, not me. I'll never do that. I would never do that. Amen. What causes them to obey not the gospel of God? The Bible says, a man who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The devil will make that sin so fun. Because he knows if he can blind you just long enough and get you entrapped, amen, it'll be too late. Or possibly be too late. And therefore, he's got you then. Amen. Judgment must begin at the house of God. Amen. And if it begin at us, if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? The devil makes it look so fun and pleasurable. What causes men? We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. If the Lord would help me just for a little while. I don't think I'm going to take long. I don't have a whole lot written down here. The Bible said, for God so loved the world. Can you quote it with me? That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17, you don't have to quote it. But God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but the world was condemned by his coming. But that was not the reason for his coming. But the world is condemned by his coming. The world will be judged. Amen. You had a chance, God will say one day. There was a church on your corner, but you never darkened the door. There was a Bible on your shelf, but you never read it. Even when I sent trouble in your life. People was talking about valleys tonight and getting closer to God. You know, so many times in this world, I thank God for the heart. Amen. We need to thank God for the heart to turn to God. Because there are those that get in trouble. And instead of turning to God, turn and get hard. There was a Bible on your shelf. God, amen, was there all the time. Matter of fact, the song said he was there all the time. But God didn't send Jesus into this world to condemn the world. Amen. The message of the gospel is a condemning message to many. But that's not the purpose of the message. The purpose of the message is life. Amen. But God sent His Son, not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Because the sin, the pleasures of sin, the heart of man, the things that we've committed, we don't want to come to the light and let them be exposed. But the light is where the life is. Hallelujah. Life is in the light. I'm preaching tonight on them that obey not the gospel. God help us tonight. Pleasure and sin. Men love darkness. You know the same word that caused God in heaven to send His Son to die on a cross for our sin is the same word that caused men to reject and go to hell. Loved. God loved the world so much that He sent a sacrifice. Men loved their sin so much that they didn't accept Him, and they chose hell. Isn't that amazing? The same character that God gave salvation is the same character that caused man to turn away from Him. Because their deeds were evil, they loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I've told it many times, amen, and maybe it's been a while, maybe you forgot it. We was joking around here a while back about people in the church that's talking about something, and I said, you know, I told that, I said, when did you tell? I said, forgot it. And so I realized, you know, maybe I can tell the same stories over and over again. I feel bad, but maybe we done forgot them. But years ago, I was praying in this little room, and I had this little room I'd pray in, and there was no light in there, and so it was just a little closet, and I'd pray in there, and I had ran a little extension cord and a light in there where I'd read my Bible, and I went in there one night, and I didn't turn the light on. I just went in, and I knelt down and would pray, and I thanked the Lord for that room, amen, and looking back on that place, amen, and how that the Lord touched my life. But I go in there one night and pray. Well, I decided I was going to read something out of my Bible, so I turned that little lamp on, and I don't like spiders. Maybe y'all do, but there was this big old huge spider. Probably wasn't poisonous, who knows, but it didn't matter to me. This big old huge spider in the corner of my prayer room. And I thought, of course, I left. I got up and I left out of that room immediately. I thought, well, he'll just go away. And when I was out, I thought, you know, every time I go in that room now, even if that spider ain't there, if I don't kill that spider, every time I go in that room, I'm going to think that spider is there, and I'm not going to be able to pray. I'm not going to have peace of mind or anything. So I went, and I couldn't find no poison. But I found some Lysol, and I Lysoled him to death. And I coated that spider with Lysol and killed him, got him out of there. He shriveled up. You didn't know that Lysol would kill a spider, but it does. Then I went in there, and I couldn't breathe. Had to air the room out because so much Lysol. Die of suffocation. But after I got back in there, and after that, the Spirit of the Lord began to speak to me about how that spider was in there the whole time, and I didn't know it. He wasn't bothering me because he was in there. But when I knew he was in there, I had to take care of it, or it would have, the type of person I am, I would have never been able to, it would have bothered me, maybe not, but it would have bothered me. And the Spirit of the Lord began to deal with me in my life about how that there's things in our heart, and they've been there the whole time, but we don't realize they're a danger. We don't realize they're there until the light comes on. And when the Word of God sends the light, or a message is preached, or the truth is given to us, and the light comes on, everything is different. Then you're required. You're required by what you know. If we turned every light off in this room and there was some big rattlesnake in here, or some poisonous snake or venomous snake, but there was no light on in here or something, you know, or even with lights on, if there was some venomous snake or some poison in this room, and we found that poison, we turned the light on, found it, and then automatically I said, turn the light off. Act like we didn't see it. Your parents would think that I was very foolish, right? You'd say, oh no, we're going to kill that or I'm getting out of this room. Well, we do the same thing in our life so many times. The light comes on and God shows us the poison, but instead of taking care of the poison, we want to act like we never saw it and turn the light off. God help us. Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be reproved. When we come to God, and when we get closer to God, God's going to convict us of things in our life. But remember, it is poison. But the poison was there all the time. How come it didn't hurt me before I knew? Because we'll be judged according to what we know. There are people in foreign lands and in other places and things that won't be judged like we're judged. Because they don't know what we know. You can read Romans 7 and find out that Paul said when the commandment came, the commandment was to be life to me, but it was death to me because I had sin in me. The light that I turned on in that little room was to be life to me, but it was death to me because there's poison in the room. You understand what I'm saying tonight? Amen. God sends His Word. God sends His message. You can't stop the message. You can't turn off the light. You got to take care of the poison. Whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, lust, pride, amen, things in our life, unfaithfulness, whatever it is, we serve a God of mercy. Amen. That's what the gospel is a gospel of mercy. Amen. The song, the anthem of the church, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I'm blind, but now I see. Amazing grace. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. Help us, God, to not have pleasure in sin. Why won't people serve God? Because they love their sin too much. Love their sin, their fornication, their adultery, their sinful pleasures. They love them too much. Not going to quit it. I'm not going to quit my sinning. Amen. Many people will just find somebody that'll tell them what they want to hear. That's a sign of the end time, by the way. The Bible said men would heap to themselves teachers. Amen. The Spirit speaketh expressly in Timothy that in the latter days men shall depart from the truth, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Amen. The Bible said they would heap to themselves, amen, teachers having itching ears. I can't quote all the way down to that scripture, but let me turn over here and read it to you. Amen. Said, heap to themselves, anyways, let me see right here if I can find it. The perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous goes down through the list here, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. Amen. Where is that scripture? Said they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. It's in there somewhere. Y'all know it's in there. Some of y'all find it. You got Google. You can Google it and find it and read it. It's in there. I'm telling you, it's in there. Amen. But many times in for sin, instead of taking care of the problem, they will instead shut off the light or find somebody that will tell them what they want them to know. There's somebody that'll tell you you can be a homosexual and go to heaven, but God's word does not say that. There's people that tell you you can, you know, commit sexual sins and fornication. You don't have to be married and all that and go to heaven, but God's word doesn't say that. It's the opposite. Adultery and things like that. And God's word is true. Hallelujah. But why wouldn't we obey the truth? Because we love sin. Men love darkness rather than light. Pleasures in sin, though, are only for a season. There is pleasures in sin. There's people out there sinning. They're having a time of their life. Matter of fact, if you ask them to trade, Jason, they wouldn't want to trade. They'd think we live so hard. But then there's others whose sin has taken a hold on, destroyed their family and destroyed their love, destroyed their confidence, destroyed their life in such a way that they would trade places with any of these young people under one condition. I don't have to go down the same road I went down. Them that obey not the truth but have pleasure. What would cause us to not obey the truth? God help us tonight. Bible tells us in Hebrew, I want to bring out one more point, and then we're going to come to a close. Hebrews chapter number 2, the Bible says, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by us, confirmed unto us by them that heard him? What would cause us to not obey the truth, letting it slip, becoming careless, getting to a place in our life where it doesn't matter so much, where it is not so important to serve God? Amen. God help us to never get to that place. Amen. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. It's like the little girl who's just learned to read and is in school, and she's ever so attentive to what the teacher has to say. And she wants to learn to write these words. She wants to achieve. She's got all of these things. But then later on in life, as time goes on, she's there in the classroom. Amen. And all she can think about is what she's going to do on Friday night at the party, or the new boy that she's met, or whatever, you know. What has happened? Amen. Instead of giving the earnest heed, they're letting it slip. Wherefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, if the angels said it, and it was steadfast, and everybody that disobeyed, every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Just. God is a just God. And when He rewards man, even in judgment, God is not at fault. God is not at fault. Many people have faulted God. What a shame for man who is unholy to point their finger at a holy God and has been oh so good and kind and loving to this world and say He's at fault. Every pain and sorrow, every tragedy that happens in man's life is man's fault. So what about the little children? What about those that suffer? Children are born into a sinful world that man made sinful. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? If God gives us something so great and we allow ourselves just to lay it aside. As I said a while ago, pass by the church. Amen. As I said a while ago, let the Bible collect dust on the shelf. Amen. Y'all have heard the sayings. You've read it on church signs. Amen. So many things. A dusty Bible will lead to a dirty life. Hallelujah. God help us. Amen. Those grandmas and grandpas, those mothers and fathers, their Bibles was worn out. I said their Bibles was worn out. The most precious thing they had was their Bible. God help us to pay attention and not neglect so great salvation which was spoken unto us by the Lord. The time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, where shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Oh, God help us to be obedient, children. God help us to be obedient instead of careless. Amen. But taking ever so much caution at what God has confirmed unto us and in our life. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, amen, when Paul and I believe it was actually Barnabas, before him and Silas had took that second missionary journey in Acts chapter 13. It was Paul and Barnabas. They came down there and they began to preach. In Antioch, that's where it was, in Acts chapter 13, in this, I'm almost done, y'all. In Antioch, they went into the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, they sat down, and after reading the law of the prophets and rulers of the synagogue, he said, "You men and brethren, amen, have you any word to say to the people?" The ruler of the synagogue did. And Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand, preached the gospel to them. He preached the gospel to these people in Antioch. He said, give audience. He said, God chose our fathers. He goes down. He talks about how he brought them in into the land of promise. How David was raised up. Amen. How John preached repentance and John fulfilled. Amen. He said, then God sent Jesus. Amen. And he said, they found no cause of death in him, yet desired that Pilate should be slain. And God raised him from the dead in verse 30. Paul's just preaching the gospel. That's what the gospel is, the message of salvation. Amen. He said, we declare unto you glad tidings. That's the gospel, glad tidings. Why would somebody not obey the gospel? You're here tonight and your life is a mess. I'm telling you, the gospel is God will turn it around. You're here tonight and you're sick. The gospel is God will heal you. You're here tonight and your family is in a mess. The gospel is, it's glad tidings. God will touch your family. The gospel is the testimonies that we've heard tonight. I've been in a valley, but God's helped me. The gospel is, I was sick and the Lord touched me. The gospel is, I was confused and God, amen, straightened it out. The gospel is, we needed help and we didn't even know it and God helped us. The gospel is glad tidings. Why wouldn't anybody obey the gospel? The pleasures of sin, the neglecting of our salvation. The Bible says, he said, glad tidings, how that the promise was made in the fathers. God fulfilled the same unto us, the children. He goes on and talking here in this deal and said, when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that the word might be preached unto them the next Sabbath. Said, hey, they got a group together and said, hey, let this guy come back next Sunday, which is Saturday, the Sabbath. Said, let this guy come back. Let him and Barnabas come back and preach to us next week. All these Gentiles, they're begging. Let him, and they're in Antioch. And all through God's word, Gentiles, God accepted Gentiles. There was Gentiles there in that synagogue. And these Gentiles who was following the ways of God, following the ways of the Jewish people, they asked, they said, amen, let them come back next week. So the congregation was broken up, and several of them followed Paul and Barnabas, and they was talking to them. Well, the next week, Paul and Barnabas showed up, and the Bible said the whole city. Ain't that something? The whole city of Antioch was there, just about. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear the gospel. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against Paul. And I said all of that to say this right here. Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said it was necessary that the word of God should have first been spoken to you. And this is the phrase, and it stuck out to me over and over the past several months. Said, but seeing ye put it from you, you wouldn't obey the gospel. You wouldn't take the salvation of God. Said, you put it from you, you judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. And lo, we turn to the Gentiles. What Paul is saying right here is that God gave you an opportunity. You wouldn't accept it, and you became your own judge. You sat on the bench, and you sat in the chair and stood before the judge. You slammed the gavel, and you stood out there, and you judged yourself that you wasn't worthy to be saved. My God, help us. What would cause us to not obey the gospel? What would cause us to not obey God's word and the love of God in us? Help us to obey the gospel. Amen. Stand together with me tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you and we love you for the privilege to be in your house tonight. We thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. I pray, Lord, you touch us tonight in a special way. Pray, God, that you help our hearts, help our lives. Help us to obey your word. In Jesus' name. While every head's bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I want us to reverence the Lord just for a moment right here. No one's looking around. You're here in this house tonight and you've been struggling with sin. You've been struggling with addictions. You've been struggling with things in your life. Maybe even as some was testifying tonight, different ones was testifying about being delivered, being set free. Things in their life, maybe you've been struggling. You want God to help you. You don't want to disobey the gospel. And you say, Brother Sam, pray for me. I can get help from God that I not fall. Would you lift your hand? Amen. God bless you. I see that hand. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Just slip it up and put it down. I'm not here to embarrass you, but I'd like to pray with you. You say, I've got struggles in my life. I've got things, and I want God to have His way in my life. Amen. You say, yes, sir. Yes, son. I see that hand. Anybody else say, I'd like for the Lord to touch me. I'd like for the Lord to help me. I'd like for the Lord to have His way in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Amen. We're going to come in for a time of prayer here just briefly. Amen. I'd like for us just to find a place to pray. Ask the Lord to help us in a special way.